Over the last few weeks for Advent, I've been asking everyone in the church to consider three words, which are anticipate, prepare, and reflect. Glad you were able to remember three words. And so for this first short talk, it's going to be a bit of revision on the first two words, anticipate and prepare. And one of the important questions we've asked is just what is it we're anticipating and what is it we're preparing for? Because if you don't know that, it's very difficult to anticipate and prepare. There's two fairly obvious things that Christians anticipate and prepare for at Advent. One is to celebrate the birth of Christ, and the other is his second coming. There's also a third, not so obvious thing, and that is God's work in our own lives. This was something that I think Janet King mentioned at our Bible study. We're preparing and we're anticipating for God to do his work in our lives. We anticipate for the work of the Spirit. For several months earlier this year in this church, we've considered the roles and ministries of the Holy Spirit. So we should all be aware, hopefully, of the kind of things we can anticipate from him. The Spirit is a gift from Jesus. He is our counselor, our teacher, our comforter, our encourager, our equipper, and so on. And so we should be anticipating and preparing for the Holy Spirit to do his works in us and through us. Anticipating and preparing for Jesus' second coming is quite difficult because we simply don't know when it's going to happen or exactly what it will look like. We do know from the language of the Bible that it will be obvious when it does happen. No one will mistake it. And the best way to explain how to anticipate and prepare for that event is simply to keep on keeping on. Don't get disheartened. Don't let the world get you down. Don't give up. But keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus and keep pressing towards that goal in the power of the Holy Spirit. In some ways, the season of Advent and Christmas makes it easier for us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. The whole world, it seems, is preparing for Christmas Day. And so we Christians find our religion, or at least a form of it, at the centre of national life. Albeit for just a few weeks and with a capitalistic, materialistic slant. We can, during this time, invite schools into our buildings and talk to staff and children about the wonders and mysteries of the Christmas story. We can invite ourselves into pubs and onto busy high streets and sing Christian songs of praise freely, and everyone wants to join in. We can, if we're feeling bold, take the opportunity to encourage the people around us to see through the materialism, to see through the profiteering and greed, and to actually pause for a moment to reflect on the true meaning of Christmas. And we'll think about that word reflect in a moment or two. Right. So we come to our third Advent word, reflect. And we've considered this a little bit over the past few weeks, especially in our E3 service at the end of November. And I hope that we have made time to reflect on these things as we approach Christmas. That being said, I am very much a pragmatist and a realist with five children and a busy wife of my own, and I'm only too aware that so often life gets in the way of our Christian contemplative practice. But this contemplative lifestyle was something that Jesus modelled, and in fact is quite dangerous for us to neglect.
reflect is one of those words which has different but sort of related meanings. If I were to just say the word reflect to you without any sort of context, you'd probably think of the mirror sort of reflect. That's probably where your mind would go. You'd be thinking of mirrors. A surface can reflect light or heat or sound. That's what you might think of when I say reflect. But that's not really the sort of reflect we're thinking about here. We're thinking about contemplation, meditation. We're thinking about thinking. And the Bible contains a number of words that mean this sort of thing. Meditate, contemplate, consider, study, imagine, ponder. Throughout the Old and New Testaments, God's people are encouraged to reflect upon various things, and especially upon Scripture itself. One sentence that we often hear at Christmas, and which Kim has just read to us, always speaks to me quite profoundly. Luke 2:19. Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them. So here's this teenage girl, miles away from home, unmarried, seemingly abandoned by her family, just given birth in a stable, and yet she treasures all these things in her heart and ponders them. How many of us, when we go through trials and adversity, can we say we treasure these things and we ponder them? I want to quickly come back to that first meaning of reflect. We are supposed to reflect Christ in our lives. We are supposed to model his compassion, his concern, his care, his love. And we can't do that unless we spend time pondering, contemplating his compassion, his concern, his care, his love. We reflect so that we reflect. We've thought about anticipating and preparing, and we've given a very little bit of thought about why and how we reflect. And so in this last short talk, I want to suggest some things that we should be reflecting on this Advent and Christmas time. Firstly, the deity and humanity of Jesus Christ. That's a posh way of saying that Jesus is both God and a man. And that's really important for us Christians. The opening paragraphs in John's Gospel say that at the very beginning of time, Jesus existed. That he was with God and that in fact he was God. And John goes on to say that the entire universe was created through Jesus and that he is the light and life of all humanity. And in our opening reading from Colossians, which Janet read, the Apostle Paul writes that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, that in him all things were created, that he has supremacy over everything, and that he holds everything together. And yet at Christmas, we believe that this supreme being surrendered all the glory and privilege that was rightfully his. And he came to us born as a baby into abject poverty, forced to flee the country of his origin to become a refugee in a foreign nation. And so probably the most important thing to reflect upon, to contemplate this Christmas, just what does it mean that Jesus, who is God, interacted with humanity in that way? Other things to reflect upon at Christmas are the people in the Christmas story. And ask, perhaps, who do you most identify with in this story? Elizabeth and Zechariah, the parents of John the Baptist, were an old married couple. They had no children and had really no special place in their society. Their lives were all but over. They were certainly on the downward trajectory. And yet they were chosen by God to be the parents of John the Baptist. John, the one who would herald the good news of Jesus. Age, illness, injury, disappointment are not things that should hinder God's work in us and through us. Zechariah was a priest, and he no doubt hoped and expected that God would use him through that role as a priest, through his great learning and education and his high role as a priest. But God had a very different idea about how he was going to use Zechariah. He used him to be the father of John the Baptist. Sometimes God blows away our expectations. He doesn't neatly conform himself to the little boxes in our lives that we give him. Then there's the shepherds, of course, the lowest people in Jewish culture. These people weren't even trusted to give testimony in a court of law. And these weren't just shepherds, they were the night shift shepherds. I know what it's like to be on watch at 3 o'clock in the morning, freezing cold, bored out of your mind and wondering just what is the point. Wishing you could just snuggle up in your sleeping bag and not really caring if a wolf or a lion did come and take the whole blooming lot of the stinky sheep away. And yet these were the first people to hear the good news of Jesus' birth. Their meaningless, hopeless lives were given meaning and hope. Perhaps you identify with the shepherds. Perhaps life has lost its meaning and hope is gone. Perhaps you're young like the shepherds must have been, and you feel that no one thinks you have anything important to say or to contribute. You're considered immature. But take heart. Reflect upon God's choice of the shepherds as the first to hear and the first to proclaim the good news of Christ's birth. And there are plenty of other people to reflect upon in the Christmas story. Not least Joseph. Have you ever put yourself in Joseph's place? Spend a bit of time reflecting on him. Mary, 14 or 15 year old girl in that situation. Have you pondered what it must have been like for her? The wise men, these mysterious magi that we have no idea where they came from, what their religion was, and they travelled for months and months probably because they saw a star. Have you pondered the mystery of the magi? What about the wicked King Herod and his advisers? What was he expecting? Placed in control of his nation by the Roman Empire, and then he hears this new king is being born. Have you stopped to think about him? So take some time to consider all these people in the Christmas story, to reflect on them and to ask the Holy Spirit what he is saying to you through this people in the story of the birth of Christ. Well, they do say that men never grow up. And so when I bought the children a chocolate advent calendar, I, of course, bought myself a chocolate advent calendar as well. And I've only got 3 doors left on my Advent calendar. The time for anticipating is nearly over. There's only 3 days left to buy food and drink and presents. The time for preparing is nearly over. But there's always time for reflecting. Or at least there should be. And we reflect on these things so that we can reflect them back to our society. We reflect so that we reflect. Anticipate, prepare, and reflect the birth of Jesus Christ.